Get started. Amen. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is life to those who find it. It's health and healing to our flesh. I thank you, Father, that everything that you have said in your word, we cannot mock you with it, that it shall be done. And so, Father, as we open your word today, I pray for faith to come, for strength to come, and for revelation and understanding to flow. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hallelujah. We've talked a little bit about being in the right position and positioning ourselves for victory, basically. We've talked a little bit about our goals last week, about attaining our goals, going after our goals. And we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about something else, because in order to attain our goals that we set for ourselves, and by the way, did anybody set a goal this week, this last week? Did anybody set a goal and actually achieve it?
Sure. I'm working on it.
I did. Now, remember, amen, I did. And I'll tell you why I did, because I took the goal, and what did I tell us all to do? Make it simple. Make it achievable. Make it something that we can do. Now, we want God's help in it, but make it something simple, amen, that we can achieve. Because that builds what? That builds our faith,
yeah,
that we can do this. That builds our strength, that we can do this, knowing God. And when we get to that really tough goal, we know God will be there. And we're not trying to do this in our own power. Amen. So do that. If you get an opportunity this week, just set a goal, an easy goal. Ask God's help. Let God help you. Try not to always do it with your own strength and your own understanding, because that's when we sometimes fail. And then when failure comes, fear comes. Yes. When failure comes, we end up defeated. Yes, insecure.
Yeah.
Condemnation comes.
Yeah.
Right. And then we decide, well, then I'm just not going to set any goals, or I won't set goals that high anymore. You know, so keep them simple, build them up bigger as you go. Amen. But today we're going to talk about something that you have to be in order to first attain those goals. And that's freedom. You've got to be free. You have got to be free. And God came and he sent Jesus into this earth. He basically killed Jesus, put him on a cross, right?
Yeah.
Sacrificed his own son for us.
Yeah.
Why? So that we could be free. See, we were bound to our sin. We were bound to hell. Because of our sin, we were going to hell.
Yes.
Plain and simple. It's just how it was. God saw that we could not keep all the rules and regulations. He saw his people whom he loved were all going to end up paying the ultimate price of hell, which he did not create hell for you and me. Do you know that? He created hell, Bible says, for the devil and his angels, not for you. But unfortunately, when we don't choose Jesus, we've made our choice.
Yeah, yeah.
So we unfortunately would have to partake in hell. But we receive Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is our Lord. And so we're free from that.
Yeah.
So now we're free. We've received freedom and liberty from the penalties of sin because Jesus came. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is one of my favorite verses, because this is when I got born again and then came to a realization of being born again when I was 17, 18 and realized, hey, better clean my life up. And then at 25, when I really changed, this was very important. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's let's look at verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the old things, all the old things, all my old failures, all my old sins, my old bondages, right? The things that were holding me down and keeping me from victory and freedom. All those old things have passed away. All those old ways have passed away. Now that's important. Because not only can the old man die and pass away, but the old ways must go with him. So I couldn't smoke weed anymore. Couldn't beat people up anymore. Couldn't run around with women anymore. Or she would have killed me. No. But praise God, I found her. You know, amen. She saved my life. And I actually have a song that I sing to her all the time that really helped me. And amen. But it is. It's all about her. How she brought me up, pulled me out, and saved my life. Amen. She used to pray over me in the middle of the night when I wasn't paying attention. I'd be asleep, and she'd have her hand on my chest. I'd hear her praying. What are you doing?
That's right.
You talking in your sleep? Oh, no, I'm fine. You know.
Yeah.
But she was praying over me.
I still do.
And she still does. Amen. but amen, it's very important. So he said here, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Well, I'm in Christ. Does that mean I don't sin? No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Do I miss the mark sometimes? Yes. Right? Unfortunately, here's the thing about that. Because I'm in Christ, the enemy will continually combat me. He's always going to try to bring up the triggers that will cause me to want to, oh man, right? Or whatever, you know, walk right back into sin. Now, because if I do, does that mean I'm going to hell? No, absolutely not. 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive my sin and cleanse me from all of it, from all unrighteousness. So that's how good our God is. So that makes it then very easy for me to say there's no condemnation. I'm not condemned because I'm in Christ. Therefore, amen. So I'm a new creation, it said. I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, now all things have become new. Everything that's before us now should be new.
Amen.
Everything that's before us should be exciting.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy, he said, you know what? He says, I know the future. You know why I know the future? No, because I do the same routine every day. That's why he knows the future. Oh, wow, that was revelation. Amen. I don't know the future. I don't really want to know it, and God would never show it to me. Thank God for that. Because my mind would go, you know, if I saw really where God wanted me to be. Right? I didn't know I was going to be standing here. Didn't know that. I didn't know Dad was going to leave and here I'd be. I didn't know that. If God would have showed me that, you know what I said? Nuh-uh. No, I'm not. And no, he's not going anywhere. I'd have said, he's not going nowhere and I'm not taking his job. I would have said that to God. So he never showed that to me. Amen, he didn't.
Amen.
And praise God for that. But that's how good our God is. So therefore, if there's any man to be in Christ, he is a new. I'm new. You're new. And you know what? I'm new every day.
Amen.
Because see, every day I get with the Lord.
Yeah.
Every day is a new day with Jesus. Every day is a new day walking in the Word.
Mercies are new every day.
Is renewed every day. So amen. So let's go to John 8:32.
I'll jump in.
John 8:32. Yes, you will. John 8. And verse 32. Now this is Jesus talking. And he says this. He says, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now we know Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The more I know Jesus, the more free I am. The more I know his word, the more free I am. I shall know him. I shall know the truth and the truth will make me free. Anytime that you're bound and the enemy will try to bind you up, he will try to destroy your life.
Yeah.
It's what he's good at. Deception. Sure. Division. Mm-hmm. Right? He will try to divide marriages.
Oh, yeah.
That's his favorite thing to do is divide a union.
Yes.
To divide a union that, as the Bible says, we're to become one.
Mm-hmm.
That his favorite thing is to divide that union. That's why in the church, divorce rate is even higher than it is in the world. Well, that's a lot of the reason because the world's decided, you know what, why get married?
They don't even get married.
They're going to get married.
What do I need to get married for? Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? You know, that's an old saying, but that's what they say. Why get married? Why do I need a document that says I'm married? So they just don't. So that statistic really isn't what it really should be. But I shall know the truth and the truth shall make me free.
Amen.
The anointing, we know, removes burdens and destroys yokes. The anointing or the anointed one, Jesus, who is the truth, removes burdens. Now, what's a burden?
Weight.
Financial weights.
Yeah, thank you.
A doctor's bad report.
Yeah.
That's a burden.
Fear
is a burden.
Yes.
Lack.
Yeah.
Is a burden, right?
Yeah.
But then what happens when it becomes a yoke? Well, a yoke could be addiction. Right? I've been in under a yoke before. Having two back surgeries, taking pain medications from 1991 throughout 2011. All those years, my body became addicted to opiate or pain medication. And when I tried to quit, I liked to die. And that's how much power that thing has. So I was in bondage to it. I was bound to it. I had to take it to live. Right? But God can make me free from that. Amen. Yeah. And that's where that yoke, it was a yoke. It would drive me. I would do anything and everything I could to make sure that I had the pain medication because I didn't want to go through that pain of withdrawal. I would do anything and everything. That's why you see these people out there today that will go and steal from their own families. And steal them blind.
Yeah.
And breaking into to places. I know a guy who broke into a CVS. And is in jail now. And you know, he got caught. He would have made it. He got caught climbing back out. He made it in, got the job done, was climbing back out through the ventilation system. And that's how they caught him. But they'll do anything for this, right? They'll even kill. Because they're in bondage to it. They have no control over their self. They must do it. They're driven by it. That's bondage. It's just like with the yoke upon an animal. When they put that thing around that bull's neck and they've got the reins, they pull to the right, that thing goes to the right. They pull to the left, that thing goes to the left. They are directed, guided, they are bound to it. Right? Well, God wants us to be free.
Amen.
So we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. What about the truth about opiate addiction? Knowing that truth will cause us to say, you know, I'm not going to take that stuff.
That's right.
I'm going to deal with Tylenol and Advil.
Yeah.
Or whatever it takes. Not to promote them, but amen. It's not an addictive pain medication. So I'll deal with a little bit of pain and try to get through it that way. Do what we can, right? Because now I know the truth about it. I'm smart enough to know not to mix fentanyl and heroin together because it could kill me.
That's right.
Right? I know that. Not that I would do either or of those, but I'm just saying, knowing the truth can make you free.
Yes.
And these people need to know that. That's why the truth is being put out there so often about all of this. I don't know if you heard this in the news, they just arrested the biggest heroin dealer in Columbus. He was the largest heroin dealer in Columbus. They just got him just this last week. Get him good. Get him good, but he's not the last one, and one will come right up underneath him. So, all right, let's go to John 8:36. John 8:36. We're already there. Look at 8:36. It says this: therefore, this is Jesus talking, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. All right, if we know the truth, who is Jesus? If we know Jesus, he just said, if we know the truth, if we know Jesus, Jesus will make us free, right?
Yes,
then we just read this here. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, he just made us free. We are free indeed.
Amen.
We are free indeed. Indeed, we are free. We're not bound.
That's right.
The more I know him, the more free I am.
That's right.
Amen. Now that makes me want to do something then. What? Get to know him more. Listen, when I first met my wife, she was pretty. She still is. And I really liked her. But the more I got to know her, the more attached I became. Right? The more I got to know her, the more in love I became. Because she was so nice to me. The more I got to know her, the more secure I felt with her.
Praise God.
The more I got to know her, the more comfortable we became. And the more I got to know her, I finally got to give her a kiss. Bottom line, what I'm saying is the more that you get to know someone, the more secure and strength and comfortable you'll be with them, the more free you'll be with them.
Yes.
Amen? The more free we'll be. Yes. She can tell me anything now. I can tell her anything. And you know what? She'll not love me any less.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, because we're open and we're free in our conversation, she'll love me more. Because I don't hide things from her.
That's right.
I don't keep things from her. We have become
one.
It's that simple. So what do we need to do with Jesus? Become
one.
Amen. You know, a lot of people, my mom used to say this, I'm married to Jesus, but my husband on the earth is Ed, your dad. But I'm married to Jesus. She was very vocal about it.
Yep.
I'm married to him, and he does not supersede Jesus.
That's right.
I think I got that conversation one time when I was trying to dominate her time. Oh, no, 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 no. See, don't bother me when I'm in prayer. I'm married to Jesus. You're my son, and I will beat you. And I believed it. I believed it. Amen. And therefore, I received it sometimes. But amen. So then I've decided I'm going to become more one with the Lord Jesus. That means the more, in order to become more one with him, I must get to know him more intimately, right? I must get to know him throughout his walk on the earth, right? Spend time in the Word. We used to say this as a saying, read the red. You know, they always use Jesus' words and they print it in red, right? Read the red. Read the red.
Yes.
Just get in there and look at and see what Jesus says and how he says things and how awesome he was and is and will be. And see, when you see how he is with his disciples and with those there and all those that were around him, he'll be that same way with you.
That's right.
Right? The Bible says he is no respecter of persons.
Thank you, Lord.
If he's done it for someone else, he'll do the same thing for you.
You see it? Get it.
Amen. Praise God.
I'm jumping in.
Jump.
Oh, I'm jumping in. Okay. One of the things I just kind of wanted to... am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. If you kind of think about something in an area in your life that you might be struggling with, you need freedom in. It could be finance. It could be your health. It could be a marriage, a family relationship. Just where there's... We all have something with... Something in our life that we're just like... Lord, I need deliverance. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. And that's what true freedom is. When you realize that I cannot
do this on my own. It's good.
I need help. I need help. I may have Brandon. I have got parents and I've got, friends, and they can give you great advice. They'll give you the word. I tell you what, all of my friends, thank you, Lord, my husband, my mom, my dad, if I'm in an issue or have an issue, I always get the word, period. Yes. So if I need advice or if I need guidance, I know who to go to. I'm not just going to go to anybody.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But it's up to me to know what this word says. It's up to me. That's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, we just read that. The truth is the word. The word is going to set us free. When we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we have him in our life and we know what his word says, then we know that we can have that true freedom.
Yes.
I've seen addiction firsthand. I've seen, I'm going to school for it. I'm learning lots and lots and lots about it and dealing with that and everything. But just with any area in your life, no matter what it is that has you bound, that has you, true freedom can only come from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
From the Lord, from his word. There might be things you can do, steps you can take, things that you can do on your own and in the natural and that kind of thing. And can those things help? Yes. But your true freedom, your true deliverance is only going to come when you say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I need your help. I can only get through this with you.
Amen.
And that's when we know that we've got that true freedom that we've been given.
Amen.
I mean, it's ours.
Amen.
It is ours. That
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is what we have when we have Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. That freedom is ours. It's a right. We can say, I want that.
Yeah.
And we can have that.
It's good. It's a right. It's our right as believers. It's our right as children of God that we can have that freedom. Amen.
Right.
So it's our right. So the devil doesn't have the right then to keep us down, to keep us bound or in bondage. Amen. We have the right to be free.
Yeah.
And you need to let him know it.
Yeah. Amen.
We need to let the devil know, hey, wait a minute, I'm free.
Yeah.
When it comes to addiction, we're on addiction here for a minute, but when it comes to addiction, when you get free from addiction, what the counselors will tell you, or the doctors will even tell you, is to stay away from triggers. And they use the word triggers. Now, what's a trigger? Well, a trigger is something that would trigger you to go back to that addiction, that pill, that whatever that thing might have been that had you bound. Yes. Whatever might trigger that. Well, somebody that you used to do it with all the time would be a trigger, like a friend that you got, doing drugs with all the time. Well, that would be a trigger. As soon as you get around that person, you might be triggered because he didn't decide to get free.
Yeah, that's right.
So he might do it right in front of you,
yeah,
right? Because he doesn't care about you.
No.
Cares about his fix.
Yeah.
That would be a trigger. There were a lot of things that to the life that I used to live in the world, there were a lot of triggers. Music was a trigger for me. Rock and roll. I mean, I'm talking rock and roll. It was a trigger for me that when I would hear certain rock and roll music, I would get angry. And it was a spiritual thing. It would try to take over. And oh, I hated that band. But whatever that trigger was, because I was such an angry person, that spirit of anger would come. You know, of course, I was listening to rock and roll that was angry.
Yeah.
They were angry, right? They were always singing about killing and violence and murder. And it was always about, you know, of course, the devil's smart and he's slick, right? They sang all of this, but what they did was they put it under a cover of the military. Now, I love the military. I studied the military. I've researched the military. I love military movies. I love how they discipline you. They keep you structured in the military. So what the devil does is he takes all the murder, anger, violence, hatred, bitterness, whatever, and he just kind of covers it and makes it look like, well, this is the military. See, this is just war. But yeah, you're singing it, you know, and you're getting angry. So I don't know. But to me, that was a trigger. It was something that would draw me into that spirit of anger, and I had to stay away from it. So I eliminated that trigger by throwing all of that stuff out.
Yeah.
I just threw it out.
Too.
Bye. And I threw hers out too. But God told me to. Amen.
So, you know, he brought up anger, and anger is, we live in a world where we see anger surrounding us.
Violence.
Every day there's violence, there's anger. It's, and I mean, anger is just something that will seriously just bound a person. I mean, not telling on him or telling his story, but he said a little bit. I mean, the spirit of anger was something that he really, really had to deal with. You know, and sometimes, you know, the enemy will still today, you know, pick things, or we'll be driving down the street and someone's not driving to his liking. Well, you know, he might like, now, you know, it's like, but it's those things and the world that we live in and the society that we live in and the school shootings and the this and the that and everything else. Anger is just out there. And, you know, and that person can be free from that. They don't have to live angry. They don't have to live, you know, and it's amazing how many people deal with the spirit of anger that just don't know how to
be free. Yeah, let go.
Just let it go. But sometimes only the Lord and the spirit of God can totally set them free from that. And once they say, you know what, I don't want to be angry anymore. I hate being angry with my husband. I hate being angry with my wife. They still have to get to that point. And just within any area that you're dealing with where you're bound by something and you need free from it, you have to say, you know what, I'm done with this.
Amen.
And it's a choice that you have to make. And when you surrender that and you let God totally just take it, then that's where that freedom can take place.
Amen. That was something I had to deal with even when I was born again in the church. I had my family. We were on the way to a Bible study. And I shouldn't tell the story, but I'm telling it. Because you got to understand, it's not just those who are not in the church that the devil attacks with anger.
Right. That's the truth.
And it's not those that are just in the world that are not Christians that lose their anger or their temper. Christians do too. And we're on our way to Bible study that I was teaching, and we always had our kids with us, and our kids were grown a little bit more. They were probably almost in high school. Yeah, pretty close. And I'm on a two-way highway, and I'm, this guy's going 45 miles an hour. We're going to be late. You know, pastor don't like to be late, so I'm on it, you know. So I go to pass the guy, and he speeds up. Now, I got oncoming traffic coming at me, but this guy decided to speed up so I can die, basically. He wouldn't let me over. Well, I had more juice in mine than he did in his, so I ended up getting in front of him. And I was mad, very angry at that situation because he could have killed my family. You know, he was going 40, and it's a 55. He was going 40, and so I decided to pass him, and he decides to speed up. Now, in my mind and my thought pattern, he's trying to kill my family. I'm mad. We get to the stoplight. I pull my seatbelt off. I jump out of the car and I try to grab him and pull him out of the car. My wife tells the kids, don't look.
Don't look.
Well, my son knows my stories because he was in my youth ministry all his life. So he knows my life as being angry and the things that I had gone through in life. So he knew what was going to take place. My daughter did too, because she had been in the same. But my mom, you know, my wife said, don't look, you know, don't look. And anyway, nothing took place. I didn't get a hold of him because he rolled his window up. I walked back to my car. We got in it. On the way there, guess what I got to do? I got to repent. Not only did I repent to my God, but who else did I have to repent to?
Your family.
My family.
And that
No, I never found that guy to repent to. Be quiet. So, but here's my point on that. My family had to see, first they saw anger and that spirit take over, but then they had to see what can happen. That freedom of me repenting.
Yes.
Of going to God and saying, you know, that wasn't right, Father. My family had to see that that's not right. And so I repented to him in front of them, and I repented to them in front of him. Because they had to understand that that wasn't the right thing to do. Amen. Even though...
And that was the last time that I...
That's never happened
that
again.
I know of.
No, that's not happened again.
It
has not happened again.
Right. So when you're free, you don't...
When you're free, you don't go back to it. Amen.
That's right.
And I'm not listening to that kind of music that would even put me in that position either. So, but it's important, amen, that they saw that that wasn't right, and they saw me repent to the Father. They needed to. My children especially had to know that their dad has a relationship with the Father. Has a relationship with Jesus Christ, that I will go to him when I am not right.
Amen.
And I'll stay free. Stay free. Amen.
Amen.
I've got to read this one scripture. Go to Psalm 51 real quick. We got like 5 minutes here. So let's Psalm 51. And I love this scripture because of one word that's very important. And I've got the definition here. It's not the one I like. That I use out of my biblical dictionary, but this is just out of the Webster, so I'm going to read this. Actually, I want to read that. So let's start in verse 10. Psalm 51 and verse 10 says this: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God." I needed God to do that for me. Oh, my heart was mean and dirty and created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence.
Amen.
And do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Amen.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
Amen.
You know, when you're not joyful,
yeah,
you need that. Remember when you first got saved,
yeah,
salvation, I'm free.
Yeah.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Now, in verse 12, he said, restore. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I need restoration.
Me too.
I need restored. The word restore in the Webster says to bring back into existence. To bring back into existence. To renovate. To reinstate.
Yes.
And to reinstate. Let's talk about that for a minute in the military. To reinstate. When somebody has been court-martialed, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. They've just been deranked. They've lost the rank that they have. They've lost the power that they had. They've lost the authority that they had. But to be restored means to be reinstated.
Amen.
To be reinstated means I've got my authority back.
Yes.
I've got my strength back. I got my power back. We need that kind of freedom.
Amen.
We need to be reinstated daily.
Amen.
Because the devil tries to take our rank from us. And the easiest way to do it is to bring fear into your life. The easiest way to do that, to take your rank, is to cause you to sin, to make you miss the mark, so that you feel condemnation, so that you won't say, oh, I'm restored and I'm free.
Amen.
He tries to divide and conquer. So I want to be reinstated. It also means to give back. To give back. Something that's been taken from you, he wants to give it back.
Amen.
Amen.
That is amazing.
Second Adam.
That's important. been taken away from you, God wants to give it back. Let's talk about that for healing. What about healing? When the devil steals your health, Jesus bore stripes to give it back to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
When the devil steals your finances, Jesus became poor so you through his poverty might be made
rich.
Give it back to you. Amen. To restore into you your joy.
Amen.
The joy of your salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
To be saved.
Yeah.
Sozo. To be saved means to be saved in every area.
Amen.
I'm saved in my health.
Yeah.
I'm saved in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going crazy.
Hallelujah.
The world is, but I'm not.
That's right.
To be saved in my marriage, that it's not divorce and it's not parted, that we're one. To be saved. Right? Salvation. To be saved in the righteousness of God.
Yes.
And not in sins. I'm saved.
Yes.
I've been saved from death and hell. I've been saved from the penalties of sin.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm saved. To give back. You see, what the devil took from us in Adam by causing him to sin, God gave back by giving us Jesus.
Yes.
See, we had eternal life.
Yeah.
Adam was going to live forever, you know, until the sin took place. He was going to live forever.
Yeah.
Wow. But guess what? The woman. Or no. But what happened was he lost it. He lost his eternal life. Right? God saw that and gave it back. He restored our salvation. Amen. He restored it to us. And that's what we need. We need restoration daily. Restoration in our business. Restoration in our hearts. Restoration in our marriages. Restoration in our children's lives.
Yeah.
That we have a good relationship with our children. Amen. We need that. We don't want rebellious kids. Right? No. We want restoration with our children, right? We want them to come in and say, "Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. My day was great." And not go just right up to their room and shut their door, which is what teenagers do. They don't have to, but that's what they do. It's exactly what they do. We want that restoration of that relationship. Amen. You can have that in a marriage. You can have that in your children's lives. You can have that with your boss. You can have that in your finances. Just by tithing, you can have restoration in your finances. Just by tithing and giving in offerings.
Amen. Just
right. I mean, we have so many scriptures that if we know the word, we can go through it and we can have restoration in our lives, in every area of our lives. Amen. Restoration in our joy, in our peace, endurance and strength, healing in our bodies, financial wealth. What the devil took from us, our house, God restored. Gave it back to us. Gave us another home. Better.
Yeah, better.
It was a bigger home, twice the size.
Yeah.
And it had a two-car garage. The other one didn't even have a garage.
That's right.
I mean, he restored it. He restored it to us. And when we sold it, we made money. And we got a bigger house. So praise God. God wants you to be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
And he wants to restore anything and everything the devil's taken from you so that you can be free. Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Hope you got something out of this today. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Let me place a blessing on you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for each and every believer here today. And I thank you, Father God, that you watch over us. I thank you, Father, that you restore that freedom in our lives today. And that every day we walk free. Free in Jesus Christ. Free from bondage. Free from the burdens of this world. We are free in you. I thank you for it, Father. As we go this week, I pray for your protection to be upon us, your angels to be given charge over us, to guard and keep us in all of our ways. And I thank you that in our pathway, there is life and blessing. We give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you. Have a blessed week.